Hello, everyone. Today is Tuesday, April the 4th. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abaddon Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. If you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for future episodes, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right, and you guys can help us keep this conversation going in the airwaves by supporting this podcast, sharing it online, leaving us a good 5-star review on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere where you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a couple of links in the description so you can do just that. Before you go clicking that link, I think you want to hold on, because we got the verse of the day coming right at you.
That's right.
All that style. Is it still? So because it's coming right at you.
I am excited about the verse of the day today, because the verse of the day today is actually my favorite verse. It is my life verse.
Ooh.
Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19. It's a little bit longer, but it's going to make sense when we read it in the whole context.
Let's do it.
Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like the deer's, and he will make me walk on my high hills.
Wow. Why is that your life verse?
So that verse, I first really was kind of introduced to that verse when I was in seminary. And I was working multiple jobs and we had tiny kids at the time, full-time student trying to make ends meet. And just, I mean, everybody, all first-time parents have it tough.
Oh yeah.
But it was just kind of we were in the thick of it.
Mm-hmm.
We were in the weeds.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't live near family. It was just, I mean, it was just tough. It was a hard time in life, emotionally, financially, otherwise. So I came across that verse. There was a visiting band in one of our chapel services at seminary, and they sang a song based on that verse. And I was like, what in the world?
Yeah.
So I went and read that verse, and it was just like in that moment, it was God. To me, it was God impressing upon my heart, I see you. I'm with you in this.
That's
powerful. I haven't abandoned you. You're not on the wrong path. You're on the right road. This is just part of that road.
Yep.
And I haven't abandoned you. I haven't forsaken you. I'm with you in this difficult season.
That's awesome. And there's people out there listening that need to hear that right now. I mean, I need to hear it today. You know, there's a fundamental truth that God is always with us, and it's so easy to forget, and it's so easy to just kind of put that back there. Like, yeah, he's with us, but I don't really feel it, so it doesn't really matter right now. But no, he's always with you, and I think that kind of came through in your life, and that's really awesome. That's a really awesome story.
Yeah, that's my favorite verse ever since then, Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19.
Amen. We did have a question come in. This is kind of a first for the show. We had someone send us a riddle.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's the thing. It was green and it had a question mark on the envelope and there is a bomb attached to it. So
was it signed Enigma?
It was signed Enigma and it says, riddle me this, Batmat. And I was like, I think this guy doesn't know how to spell.
Oh, no.
Like, so I was like, I don't know. I didn't open
addressed to a wrong radio show.
It's coming in from John C.
Okay.
So it's either John C. Riley or it's, I don't know, maybe it's Dr. John Check sent us the thing. But John C. from North Carolina asked us this. There are two guards and two doors. One door leads to freedom and the other leads to death. One guard always lies and the other always tells the truth.
Oh, I've heard this.
Yeah, this is a good one. I've heard it, but I can't remember how it goes.
I don't remember the solution, though.
They know which they are. They know where the two doors go. They do not know which guard. Oh, I'm sorry. You do not know which guard is which or which door is which. You may ask one yes or no question. I think it's just you can ask one question. I don't remember it being one yes or no question. But basically, what do you ask to determine? So two guards standing in front of a door, each two doors and a guard standing in front of each one. One always lies. One always tells the truth. One door leads to death. One door leads to life or freedom. What do you ask? Like the obvious answer is like.
You can ask each guard one question or just one question at like all together and they're both going to answer.
I think you can ask each one a question.
Okay. I can't remember. I know I've heard this and I can't remember the solution. I think I would ask, I'm trying to run through the scenario in my head. If you ask the guard, let's just say the guard on the left, if you ask the guard on the left, does your door lead to salvation?
Uh-huh. He could say yes.
He could say yes, and it genuinely does.
Uh-huh.
Or he could say yes, and it's a lie.
Yeah. So basically, okay, what I think it's, if you ask the truth guard,
mm-hmm.
you have to ask what the other person would say. You have to ask what the other, like, okay, you, so I'm talking to one of the guards and I say, what would he say if I asked him? Because if I ask that to the truth guard would say that the liar guard points to death. Because that's the lie. Uh-huh. So if I say, hey, if I wanted to get out of here, which one should I take? If that's the fundamental question and I ask any of the guards what the other one would say, it's right. like, okay, I'm talking to the truth guard right now. What would he say? He would say, well, he would lie and he would point to the truth door. So then if I ask the liar guard, like what would the other guy say if I wanted to get out of here? He would point to the door that leads to death. Because he's telling the...
He would lie about the truth guard's intentions.
Right. So I think if I believe I'm doing this right, but if it's supposed to be no matter who you ask, and John C, this is my answer. No matter who you ask, they're going to point to the door that leads to death. Because the liar guard will tell you that the truth guard would point to the door that leads to death.
Okay. Yeah. And
would he suggest? And the truth guard is going to tell you that the liar guard would point to the wrong door, which is the door that leads to death. So no matter what, no matter who you ask, you take the opposite door.
Okay.
That's my answer.
So on today's episode that we're talking about doors that lead to life, doors that lead to death.
We're talking
about the door that leads to life, specifically resurrection. Jesus is the door that leads to everlasting life.
Right.
Look at that segue.
That was pretty good. Tell them about Jonah, man.
I'm telling you what, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about Jonah today. And that's, you know, if you're thinking about the resurrection, Jonah's probably not your go-to story. But we're going to learn today that Jonah is actually a picture of the resurrection of Jesus.
That's right.
We're going to get Dr. Sean in just a minute. But if you guys have any questions or suggestions for new episodes, send us a text to 252-582-5028 or visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, my name's Ellie.
And I'm David.
And we want to take a minute and let you know how we can actually serve you as you're listening to Clearview Today.
The Bible paints an extraordinary picture of who we are as a church body. The mission of Clearview Church is to lead all people into a life-changing, ever-growing relationship with Jesus Christ. A huge part of leading people is praying for them. A big reason that Christians have unanswered prayers in their life is because they're not praying.
You know, 1 John 5:15 says, "And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." If you're listening to the Clearview Today Show, we want to know how we can pray for you as well.
There's a number of ways that you can get in touch with us at Clearview and share your prayer request, but the best way is by texting us at 252-582-5028. You can also send us an email at prayer@clearviewbc.org, or you can download the Clearview app on iTunes or Google Play. You know, on that app, there's a dedicated prayer wall that helps us to get to know what's going on in your life, how we can pray for you, and how we can take any necessary steps to get you moving in the right direction.
Thanks for listening. Now let's get back to the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. If you have any questions or suggestions for future episodes, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right. If you guys are joining us for the first time today, we want to let you know who's talking to you. Dr. Abadan Shah is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. You can follow all of his work on his website. That's abadanshah.com. I'm going to tell you, I was about to read the intro and I shifted gears I was reading the intro and saying the
very nice, like, very impressive. It's hard to fight that muscle memory.
Yeah, I was like, it was like my brain doing one thing and my mouth saying another.
So we are going to take a look today. We're continuing this series as we are in Passion Week heading up toward Easter. We're going to shift gears a little bit. And we talked yesterday about Jonah. I'm sorry. We talked yesterday about Job.
He gave it away.
I know. I'm sorry. I was thinking ahead of my eyes. We're talking today about Jonah. I was going to try to segue that cleverly, but we're talking about Jonah today.
That's right. That's right. When it comes to the resurrection, of course, Job, you know, talks about My Redeemer lives, the resurrection that is coming, even in my when my skin is destroyed, this I know that in my flesh I shall see God. I mean, what a powerful statement. But there's also another book that talks about this, and that is the book of Jonah. Mm-hmm. And John, you mentioned it's one of your favorite books.
I love Jonah. I don't know what it is. We did a Bible study on it. We in Israel of 2019, we went to... I've loved Jonah since I was a kid. I remember like they would put up, like in VBS, they'd put up like little posters. And I always just loved the story of Jonah. But then in 2019, you and myself and David went to Israel, and we filmed a series of videos on the book of Jonah, like our own Clearview Bible study we filmed on Jonah. And the way that book came to life, I don't know if it was just being in Israel, reading Jonah in my devotion times those mornings, just something about
filming
it.
In Joppa, filming the seashore.
Yeah, filming in the...
talking about coming to life.
Having the camera and Dr. Shaw being like, you know, Jonah came to this dock. Where we're standing, he came here.
Right.
He walked on these pebbles. I was on these roads. I was like... Golly,
crazy.
He did.
Yeah.
He really did.
Mm-hmm.
And then seeing like the house where, I know it wasn't Jonah, but seeing like Simon Peter's house where the sheet came down from heaven, I was like, that's where it happened.
Yeah.
Something came awake in me on that trip. And ever since then, I've loved Jonah.
Yeah.
I've really loved it.
Side note, one of our trips, Nicole and I actually went down to the ground level because this is below the modern town of Joppa, which is kind of like on the southern end of Tel Aviv.
Mm-hmm.
But they... In digging and excavating and archaeological work being done, they came to the level where Jonah would have walked.
That's crazy.
And I was able to go down there, you know, and you can go down there for a fee. Mm-hmm. But typically in tours, they're not able to do that because of time.
Mm-hmm.
But Nicole and I had some time, and I'm like, I want to go down there because I want to see the ground where Jonah would have walked. Because you know how with time, those tails, T-E-L, tails kind of build up.
Mm-hmm.
Dirt adds on. But this was the ground level, and it was just surreal for me to know that this is somewhere here. It all took place. And what took place? If you know the book of Jonah, God came to him and said, I want you to go and go to that great city and cry out against it, the city of Nineveh in Assyria. And the reason? For their wickedness has come up before me. The word for arise in Hebrew is the word kum, which simply is like up.
Mm-hmm.
Up. It's just like you tell your teenagers, up, let's go.
Yeah.
And Jonah was very comfortably asleep when God came to him. And, you know, not only physically he was asleep, but also spiritually, I would say, he was also asleep.
Mm.
And instead of going to Nineveh, he arose and fled to Tarshish from the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where all hell breaks loose,
right?
Literally speaking.
Yeah, absolutely. And that running, I mean, that's the thing that we identify quickly with Jonah, is that he heard God's command and he turned and ran.
Right.
And you said this before, but that's indicative of sin being present in your life. When God calls you, so that sin is going to repulse you in the other direction.
Right, right. And in Jonah's case, maybe there was some sin in there, but it was also a sense of prejudice against the people of Nineveh. Why them? I mean, these people hate us. Mm-hmm. These people are pagan. They worship gods that are, you know, just heinous. Why would you want to save them?
Right.
Yeah.
But he forgot that, yes, these people are mean. Yes, these people are hateful. Yes, they were against God's people. But this is the reason why God's people existed, so that they could reach people, right?
Mm-hmm. I think one thing that stuck out to me when we just in us talking about it, I know you've said this several times, but we typically misassociate the greatest lesson is that, hey, after 3 days, Jonah was still alive. Look what God can do.
Yeah.
Like, yes, that's true. And it's a picture of the resurrection. We get that. But the most amazing lesson is that Nineveh got saved.
Right.
Nineveh was delivered.
Right.
And it wasn't that Jonah was like an amazing preacher or that he was like, hey, look what God can do through disobedience. That's there. But it's that God's delight, like we talked about last week, his delight was to save his people and to bring them. And that's the greatest work of the book of Jonah.
Right. Yeah. But when he ran, of course, God sent out a great wind on the sea. There was a mighty tempest on the sea so that the ship was about to be broken up. And his resolution in verse 12 is, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. So you remember that when I said
I remember exactly what you're about to say. If you want to say, you can.
You know, I mean, think about it this way. Why did he not just, how do I say this?
He said, so in Dr. Shaw preached on Jonah, like, I don't know, like 8 or 9 years
prior
ago.
Prior to 2017, so it would have been
2014.
2014.
But I remember specifically him from the pulpit saying, "Why didn't Jonah just say adios and pitch a backflip off the like?" I don't know why.
Reverse gainer off the side of the boat.
Adios, gang.
See ya.
Backflip right off. That image has stuck with me for going on like 9 years now.
Because you know the sailors had to throw him into the raging sea. In the same way, Jesus was taken by lawless hands and nailed to the cross. There is that active, you know, taking and being nailed is what Jonah was representing in that action.
Wow.
And as the great fish kind of nosedived into the deep, Jonah cried to God and said, "For you cast me into the deep." You know, so also Jesus was a victim of the cruel and the evil. He was delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, as Peter says in Acts 2:23. Jonah felt abandoned by God. He said, "I've been cast out of your sight," just the way Jesus said from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Yeah. Now, let me make a clarification here. This does not mean that the Father and the Son were separated.
Right.
You know, there's this idea of a broken Trinity. There was never a broken Trinity.
That's where people like say like the Father like turned his face away.
Right. And we have that in the songs and things like that too. And I get what they're saying, but keep in mind for the Godhead to be broken up.
Yeah.
That is not good theology. Mm-hmm. That's not biblical theology.
Yeah.
So Jonah is describing his experience in the belly of the fish. He talks about the water surrounding me, even to my soul, and the deep closed around me. And here's a funny one. Weeds were wrapped around my head. But my
buddy boy's like having a bad time. like a turban just suffocating.
Well, we see these pictures of like, you know, these coloring book little images of Jonah like floating on some wreckage inside of the fish.
It's kind of
like,
brightly lit.
It's praying.
Like the pink walls.
Let's not forget that he was in the stomach of a fish. Like absolutely. Stomach acid. No light. There's like decomposing fish all around him. I mean, that was a wretched,
smelly, nasty, and salty
like,
water.
You always see Jonah and he's like sad and he's grumpy and like it's like brightly lit and stuff, but it's 100% like pure dark.
There wasn't a window in like the bay of the fish.
I'm sure there's like water all in his face and in his mouth and stuff.
I mean, it's a glimpse of what Jesus went through.
Yeah.
You know, he felt the death grip of sin rising around him.
Oof.
You know, the weeds around his head. Think about the crown of thorns.
Yeah.
That's what I think it represents, and not just, you know, Jesus just there and Jonah just here.
That's a good point.
Also, he talks about being cut off from the earth. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth was with its bars closed behind me forever. So also Jesus, it says in Isaiah 53:8, was cut off from the land of the living.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a powerful statement, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. And then so 3 days and three nights, Jonah was in the belly of the fish. So also Jesus was in the grave 3 days, right? And then what happened to Jonah afterwards? The Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. And what happened to Jesus?
Mm-hmm. On the third day.
On the third day, having loosed the pains of death because it was not possible that he should be held by it.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus was also, in a way, kind of, you know, spewed out of the grave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting because it's not like, I think we kind of hit on this earlier. It wasn't that Jonah preached the gospel well. He literally became a living embodiment of the gospel.
Mm-hmm. And that's
why Nineveh was able to be saved. Because if it was him, it's like, see, Jonah, you had it in you all along.
No.
But it was no. God was going to do it all along through your
obedience. God used you as a picture of a reality that was to come.
Yeah.
You know, when we think about Jonah's message to Nineveh, it's simple. How many words it is? If I'm not wrong, it is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Eight words in English. Mm-hmm. In Hebrew is different. But in English is, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown.
Mm.
Now we think, we think he's just walking around saying, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. In a sense, that is true.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he spoke more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Why doesn't the Bible say that? Why doesn't the Bible tell us that he went and talked about, look, just the way I was in the belly of the fish and I almost drowned and I was cut off from the land of the living. One day someone is coming who also will be in the belly of the grave and be cut off from the land of the living and be spewed out the third day. Why didn't he go into all the details? Because God, in his divine wisdom, allows us to study his word and draw these conclusions, right? Imagine if everything was laid out for you. Everything is perfectly laid out. What? How boring would that life be?
Yeah, I mean, I would just, it was just, all right, okay, that's what it is. I'll just do it.
Yep.
Right. So also when it comes to the Word of God, you know, there's a statement in the book of Proverbs. It says something, and I'm kind of paraphrasing here.
If you want.
It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, and is the glory of kings to uncover it.
Mm.
So in a sense, God has sort of buried all these powerful truths in his word, and it's our glory to go discover them.
That was right on. It's Proverbs 25:2, if anybody wants to look it up, but that's exactly it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it was just those eight words in English, at least. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And everybody's like, oh, we cannot be overthrown.
Yeah.
I guess we'll turn to God.
How are we not overthrown, Jonah?
And how are they saved? Yeah. I mean, there is no message of salvation. There is no Redeemer. Right. There is no Jesus Christ. So how are they saved? Just by not being bad?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, that's true. It's like if someone comes and is like, when you die, you are going to go to a real place called hell. It's like, is that it?
How do
like,
I not do this, that?
You're saved.
You did it. I don't want to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the message is Jonah as he's walking around all bleached from top to bottom.
He rolls it. This thing's looking kind of crazy, but.
Yeah. He's still got some weeds hanging up on his ears.
I feel like he might actually overthrow the city.
Yeah. And really interesting as well. You know, many of y'all may have known about this, but. That whole idea of fish, you know, among the Sumerian, that logogram is what is known as is Nineveh, which is fish, which means there was another town with a similar name, Nina, which worshipped the fish goddess Nanshe.
Mm-hmm.
And more than likely, the people of Nineveh worshipped the same fish goddess.
Mm.
Ooh, wow.
So think for a moment. The symbol was a fish.
Mm-hmm.
According to a Greek historian by the name of Berossus, the Assyrians had a myth that a half-fish, half-man god called Oannes or Oana had come up out of the sea and brought them wisdom, sciences, and art.
Wow.
And archaeologists from the 19th century tell us that outside a large chamber in Nineveh, there was a bas relief of a half-fish, half-man being.
Mm.
So this was not just, yet 40 days and you shall be overthrown. No, the gospel was being demonstrated before their eyes.
Yeah.
And they trusted in the gospel, not of this man coming out of the big fish or the bas relief, but that all these things, whether from the Jewish world or people of Israel world or their own pagan world, is pointing towards that fully God, fully man.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to die for their sins and rise again on the third day.
Yeah. The fact that Jonah's name even sounded like the half fish,
Uana,
half God.
Uana, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what's your crazy name? Jonah. Huh? What's your name? Is this the guy?
Is this him? Uana?
It's like, no, let me tell you about the God that I serve that sent me to you.
And he's coming and he's going to do for real what I just went through.
Yeah.
And it's again, 3 days, three nights.
Amazing. It's so amazing that God brings all of those factors together to meet the Ninevites where they are, to speak to them in a way that's going to resonate with them.
And also it helps people understand that, you know, we have an idea that prior to the cross, people were saved because of good works.
Mm-hmm.
People were saved because they just looked at nature and said, oh, there must be a God. And that once Jesus came, it's like, okay, all right, now we start again. Hit the reset button. Okay, click. Now come to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
No, right from the beginning of time, gospel was being preached in its own way, but it was still centered upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Amen.
And I think one thing that helps me with Jonah is that when I go through hard times or when I go through trials in life and I look back to Jonah, I remember that, you know, he didn't do that. He didn't send that big fish to punish Jonah. Like, yes, it was discipline and he disciplines his children, but his goal wasn't to teach Jonah a lesson. His goal was to leave Jonah looking more like Christ. And so if I'm going through hard times or if you as a listener or we as Christians go through hard times, you know, the goal isn't to punish you or just to make you humble. It's to leave you resembling Jesus more because that's what he did for Jonah. Like he came out looking crazy, but at the same time he spiritually looked more like Jesus.
That's right.
And I don't know. That's an encouragement for me.
Yeah, there's a, it makes Jonah, I mean, that tiny little book in the Old Testament has such a deeper meaning behind it now, because it's not mm-hmm. just, hey, this guy had a bad attitude and then he went and did what God told him to do. No, it's this man was used as a picture of the gospel.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
As an embodiment of what God was going to do.
Right.
And how people looked forward to the salvation that was going to come, the resurrection that was going to come. Jesus talks about the sign of Jonah. Mm-hmm. The people looked forward to the resurrection that was eventually going to happen.
Wasn't that a thing that, like, he's the only prophet that Jesus specifically mentioned or pointed to? Mm-hmm. Or there's like a thing. I can't remember what it was, but it was significant that Jesus said, just like Jonah,
no other sign will be given but the sign of Jonah.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah. So, I mean, this book is powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a visible demonstration of the gospel before it actually happened 2,000 years ago.
Wow.
That's amazing.
A powerful way.
Yeah.
And again, if you study history, and I don't have time to get into all that, you know, even Assyria was, in a sense, had God's hand upon it. Mm-hmm. And it talks about that in prophecy, that how God will bring Assyria back and all that. So there's a lot, so much in the Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So much we can
learn
from.
I'm also pretty grateful for the fact that, you know, I don't have to get swallowed by a whale to be a sign
of
Christ. Yeah,
I'm thankful for that.
You know, because imagine if
real
it's
thankful
like,
for that.
Hey, listen, in order to be a sign of Christ to people, like you, or in order to point people to God, you have to really like go through something like Job did or like Jonah did. Yeah. It's like, because of Jesus, because of his work on the cross, and because of the Holy Spirit, we can become like that sign of the gospel with, I mean, some heartache in life,
right?
Some trials in life, but we don't have to go through this extraordinarily traumatic experience so that we can become a sign.
Yeah. Mm. Jonah was the sign pointing ahead. It was like, hey, just like what happened to me, something greater and more powerful, more significant is going to happen. We're on this side, so we're like, hey, man, look at the cross.
Right. That's
look at
right.
Jesus. Look That's at the right. resurrection. We That's can just right. point back to what's already happened.
And also be grateful, because people like Jonah literally, you know, lived out the sacrifice.
That's right.
You know, imagine being swallowed by a great fish.
I really don't want to.
Imagine being taken to the way deep. I mean, you know, he doesn't have an oxygen tank on
right.
him.
Right.
Right. I mean, he doesn't have an oxygen tank that he can like,
yeah, get that good air.
Imagine how much his head is pounding, how he is.
That pressure being under the water.
Oh yeah. I mean, if you go down to the ocean floor, man, that's.
Well, that fish swam back up. I mean, you hear about people who like ascend too quickly.
They get the
they
bends.
Get all kinds of crazy stuff happening to them. I mean, Jonah probably encountered that. He probably went through all.
Well, he was hurting. Buddy was hurting for sure.
Yeah. I mean, maybe there's some broken bones. I don't know. So anyways, maybe not, because if he's truly representing Christ, then his bones were his not bones broken. Were so
true.
So
true.
Maybe no broken bones, just a lot of bruises.
Oh, man.
Some traumatic experiences for sure. A little worst, PTSD going on.
Worse for the wear, but gets to become a physical picture of the gospel.
That's it.
Wow. If you guys enjoyed today's topic, if you have questions or suggestions for new episodes, send us a text at 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, and you can partner with us financially on that same website. There's a button there where you can click to donate. And if you do so, let us know in the comment box that you're donating to Clearview Today. That lets us know where those gifts are coming from and helps us partner with you in the future.
Amen. We got a quote coming in. Well, not coming in, but we found a quote from Donald Gray Barnhouse. The church was not left in this world to perfume the dung heap of fallen humanity, but to take out one by one those who will be saved from the coming destruction.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah. Donald Gray Barnhouse was a pastor of 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, one of my favorite preachers. He was Reformed, and yet, in a way, his theology was so widespread. Mm-hmm. And he was an amazing man, brilliant, brilliant. And he touched a lot of people with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he was also mistreated because he was conservative. He stood on firmly on the truth in a time of all the neo-evangelicalism was happening. And for that, he was often mistreated. But he stood firm.
Wow. What a great example for us.
Amen.
We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.